my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. We are, of course, celebrating All Saints' Day today, the feast day of All Saints. In the Episcopal calendar, in the church calendar, All Saints' Day is one of the seven principal feast days of the calendar, the highest order of celebration that we have. I may have mentioned in the past, I love the calendar, and you'll be hearing more about it, undoubtedly. I love the cycle of seasons and holy days. I value the calendar as a teaching tool, particularly because it encourages us as we work our way through the seasons of the church year. The calendar encourages us to focus on different aspects of our life of faith, different facets of our relationship with God over the course of a year. For churches without a regular calendar, there is the potential, at least, to get stuck in a rut, to get stuck in your favorite place with respect to the life of faith or your relationship with God. But the calendar requires us to experience Lent once a year, to celebrate Christmas every year, to pass through the different aspects of our common life of faith. I find that overall very enriching and expanding. And one of the things that the calendar teaches us is that pondering this idea of All Saints is important. In the hierarchy of the calendar, All Saints is up there with Christmas and Easter. Thinking about All Saints is something that the calendar encourages us to do. Some of you will remember a month or so ago when we celebrated St. Francis Day, I talked a little bit about sainthood in general. And I talked about the biblical perspective, which the Episcopal Church follows, which is that all of us, as I said with the kids, all of us who are on a path with Jesus are saints. All of us are beloved. Paul addressed his letters to all of the saints in Philippi, to all of the saints in Thessalonica. All of us who are on path with Jesus are saints. There are no tests or qualifications that designate some people as saints or higher order saints than others. We are all saints. All saints of God. There are some folks, perhaps, who would say that, well, making everyone a saint means that it has no meaning, that it diminishes the value of sainthood. But the value of sainthood cannot be diminished because it is a holiness that is granted by God. So to say that we are all saints does not diminish sainthood, but it does raise us up, all of us, and celebrate the saintly value that each and every one of us has. In God's eyes. And what I really want to focus on today, though, is this idea that by being saints, one thing that we are granted automatically is membership in the communion of saints. You know, the analogy of a team at its best, if we think of teamship, or whatever the word would be, if we think of teamship at its best, that's really not a bad analogy for the communion of saints. And all of us are automatically a part of this group. All of us are members of the communion of saints. One of the books that describes saints in the Episcopal Church, that describes the calendar, talks about the church. Not as institution, not as building, but as people. and describes the church as the communion of saints. The church is the communion of saints. That is, a people made holy by their mutual participation in the mystery of Christ. This communion exists through history, exists now, and endures beyond the grave and gate of death into heaven. The church is the communion of saints, a group of people made holy by our mutual participation in whatever way in the mystery of Christ. As I was thinking about this, I was reminded also of one of the great foundational hymns of the church, "The Church is One Foundation." First line of that, of course, is "The Church's one foundation is Jesus Christ our Lord." But there is a later verse talking about the church that says, "The church on earth, she on earth hath union with God the three in one, and mystic sweet communion with those whose rest is one." And if I leave some of you with nothing more than that earworm today, I will have considered that I succeeded. Mystic sweet communion. Mystic sweet communion. The communion of saints. Mystic sweet communion. Amongst those living, amongst the saints of the past, and with those whose rest is one. To be a part of this communion is literally to be in relationship with all of the other saints. To be connected. To be in relationship. To be knit together into a holy cloth. Knit together, the language from today's collect, who has knit together in one communion and fellowship all of your saints. I love that image of being knit or woven together, being connected as a part of one holy cloth. And it is that mystic, mysterious participation in Christ that knits us and holds us together. And that cloth, that holy cloth, which is the communion of saints, warms our soul, protects our heart, and supports and sustains us on our earthly journey. It is nothing less than the presence and care with us of all the other saints. The presence and care with us throughout our lives of all of the other saints, past, present, and even in a sense yet to come in God's time. The communion of saints, it is the presence and care with us, knit together in the mystery of Christ, of all of the saints of God, known and unknown, with us. The kids are studying St. Francis, certainly one of the best known of all of the saints. In this wondrous communion of saints, we are connected to Francis. We share life with Francis. We have his support. We talk about that great cloud of witnesses who support and urge us on. Francis is among us, supporting us, encouraging us, whispering in our ear of the wonder and blessedness of God's creation. We are connected in conversation, in communion with saints of the past, with St. Andrew, our patron saint, caring for us and all those who worship in a church named Andrew. We are knit together, and we remember particularly on this feast day of All Saints' Day, we are knit together with those loved ones whom we have known who have died. We are not separated from them. In one sense, of course, we are, but in another sense, we celebrate that communion of saints which keeps us connected to all those who are with God. We affirm that they still care for us and that they encourage and support us, even, as the church says, beyond the grave. We are still bound together because we share the mystery of Christ. We are part of one holy cloth. We are connected to every single saint who has ever worshipped here, who has walked this aisle or eaten at that holy table. They support and sustain us. Every single Sunday school teacher in the history of Christendom has something to say to us if we listen to the communion of saints. When we kneel in prayer or stand in prayer or offer our words in prayer, we are praying with every monk who has ever prayed in the past and who prays today. And when we sing a song of the saints of God, every person who has sung God's praise, whether feebly or gloriously, sings with us. One communion and fellowship knit together, the communion of all saints. We are always accompanied, encouraged, and supported by this living communion of saints. With us in times of grief and in times of joy, times of doubt and times of hope. Saints from the past, saints from the present. With us, across all time, the Church is the communion of saints, and we are a part of it.